Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. The Reverend Robert Wurst is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus comes into his own city, that is, Capernaum. And people, having heard that he had come home, pressed in on every side, wanting to see him and to hear him. Matthew tells us that some people brought a paralytic to him, lying on his bed, unable to move. Mark amplifies it a bit. He says, four friends bore this man to Jesus. So the paralytic was carried bumpingly along on his litter by his friends, as soldiers bear a wounded comrade off a battlefield. They are taking him to get help. They know he will get help. When they get to the door, they couldn't get near Jesus, so they went up on the roof, Mark tells us. They made a hole and lowered their friend down. It's rather a remarkable scene if you think about it, especially if it's your roof that's being opened up. The Lord Jesus looks at the man lying inert on his pallet. He looks up at the four men and sees their faith. He looks back at the paralytic and says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." That is, be courageous. Jesus calls him my son. What a wonderful humility Jesus expresses here, that he addresses this abject paralytic as his son. Chronic suffering and pain are some of the most difficult results of original sin in this life. Not the only ones by far, but they are very difficult. Lingering suffering often tends to strip hope from a person. It tends to isolate them, taking away the companionship of their neighbor and family. Suffering isn't always a before and after kind of thing, as Americans like to think. Sometimes suffering endures, sometimes for the extent of one's whole life. Shame and difficulty often attend it. People stare at the disabled, they murmur about the ill, and the sufferer, on top of that, is tempted to start asking questions of God, "Why me?" and try to peer into God's holy will. Even if your body is younger and hasn't been particularly rebellious at this time, there often settles upon us a different kind of paralysis, a paralysis that settles on the mind and the soul. Sins, past and recent, take the joy from the life that we are given. Sin, like a bubbling, yeasty brew, often multiplies into guilt and shame. It appears God has withdrawn his hand of grace from us. Our minds grow listless. Our hearts become discontent, angry, and withdrawn. And the devil, that arch liar, spears into the heart and mind that God is to blame for all of it. So we are tempted to stop hearing the Lord's voice. And we lazily begin to whip back and forth like a flag on a summer day. Repentance is needed, both for those who suffer chronic illness in their bodies and for those who suffer in mind and spirit. This is where we begin with suffering, with repentance. Jesus gave the paralytic man exactly what he needed. He gave him the forgiveness of his sins. That, more than any physical healing, released him from everything that bound him. He is declared a free son of God by the word of Jesus. And then Jesus, because of the hardness and the evil of the scribes' hearts, added a different gift. A gift of strong legs and a sturdy back so that the man could put on a new life of vigor and strength to carry his bed home. Is this not what you need? Do you not need the forgiveness and remission of your sins? For this is the only thing that takes away your guilt and your shame. You can't forgive yourself. You need to have it done for you. As Abraham and Sarah laughed with great joy at the blessing of their son, one can picture the paralytic leap up with a laugh and a shout of joy, throw his pallet on his back and run back home to extol the forgiveness, the grace, and the blessing of Jesus. And that's what Jesus does for you. He doesn't give you just good cheer. Buck up, buckaroo. But he urges you to take heart, to be courageous, to stand against the darkness of this world. He calls you his son, heir of his own life, and sets you up on your feet with a shout of joy. This, though, was not without price. It's necessary for him to be first lifted up. He, pierced for our transgressions, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, hanging about his neck the chastisement that bought our peace. He bears the guilt of every sinner. He receives the shame that is due everyone. He dies cursed by God, afflicted with his Father's wrath. And on his cross, he is always breathing out his forgiveness and his spirit. He is the sufferer in the world, the one who suffered the most, who suffered all to bear our burden. And having died, he was carried by his friends, inert, lifeless, placed into the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, having healing in his wings for the entire world. And thus he alone, who is Son of God and Son of Man, has authority to forgive sins, for his great suffering and his wonderful resurrection have purchased that for us. He told the disciples that he had all authority in heaven and on earth, and he gave his ministers the authority to forgive sins on earth. And they do it in his stead and by his command for our comfort. And so men do have authority on earth to forgive sins because the incarnation brings great blessings to us. You can take heart. You can be courageous. Your sins are forgiven. You may laugh with joy, and you may laugh at your enemies, for they have no power over you. Not anymore. I urge you, who are sons of God, who have received the forgiveness and remission of your guilt and your shame, not to forget the suffering of those in your circle of friends, your family, and especially in your congregations. They need your encouragement. They need your companionship. You are the friends who bring them on their pallet to Jesus that he may heal them. Encourage them to take heart, to be courageous, not to spout empty platitudes at them, but comfort them with the comfort of Jesus, to have Christian joy in the midst of all their suffering. For their Lord Jesus has conquered all things and has brought them life and salvation, especially when they don't feel it at all. Lastly, we look forward to the great day when Jesus will descend with the shout of the archangel. He will call to the sons of God one last time. Take heart, your sins are forgiven. Put off the paralysis of death. Come out of that narrow bedchamber of yours. Rise up, O sons of God. Take up your pallets and come home. And he will take us back to paradise from which our father was cast out. Take heart, O sons and daughters of the King. Your sins are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.